Hi, you're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hey, and thanks for joining us today on Boggy Talk. Hope our listeners are doing well.
I hope they are too.
Me too. Hope everyone had a great Easter.
Me yes. too.
It was great.
Yes.
Unless you weren't here, then I hope it
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
That's
right.
Yeah. How are you guys? Do you recover?
Yeah, maybe by now I've recovered. I think, you know, it's just always, there's always so much headed up to it that afterwards it is kind of like, it takes a little bit of time to recover because you're so tired. Like, mm-hmm. not just like physically tired, mm-hmm. but there's so much mental work and emotional and spiritual. Yeah. You're just like everything. And then you just like release.
Yeah. What probably people don't like realize for you is because some of the stuff you're not doing, but you feel the weight of the responsibility of
make sure
all of
we gotta
the
communicate.
Stuff you oversee because you oversee kids, students, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we had this whole gym thing this year.
Everybody's communicating. Yeah. We're all on the same page. We've, you know, of course, there's things like, oops, you didn't know that we were doing this, and we've got to close some gaps for next year.
Yeah.
But that was internal stuff. But, yeah.
You would think, I mean, for me, because you have Good Friday and Easter.
Right.
So, you know, mm-hmm. you're working on two sermons. And the prep part, mm-hmm. So you guys know I study ahead of time. So that part is actually a little easier because I usually preach shorter. But the week of part mm-hmm. is a little more difficult. I'm not getting choked up. I just, I don't know what happened there. The week of part.
Talk about it.
No, listen, it's like I recognize there are people there who have no clue mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. about hardly any of what I'm talking about. And have all kinds of, like they're coming from all kinds of different places. So they coming up with how to articulate it,
mm-hmm.
that week is actually a little more challenging.
Thinking
I spend more time, so.
Yeah, that's
So that's exhausting.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
And there's just so many people. So, like, I'm just, like, I'm an extrovert, but then I'm like, wow, this is really, I'm tired.
Yeah.
You crash afterwards.
It's like the week leading up to Easter is similar to the week leading up to Christmas Eve. The difference is like, at Christmas, then it's like, oh, I just release it, get a little time off, and then the next day, it's just Monday.
We get Monday, though. Well,
yeah,
we used to not.
Not the rest of my family. You know, like, life goes on. Yeah, you know, there's still a lot of, we do have the office closed to give everybody some time from over the weekend, but everybody else's lives just keep going, so there's not a breath.
Well,
you helped out. You were, like, on staff for Easter last year, right? Because you hadn't helped out a lot that
she we were
year.
Like, hey, she's going to be on
all
staff. Let's make her talk in front
stage.
Of everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were like doing stuff.
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay.
She was observing.
All I did was,
but,
okay.
And then she spoke.
Go up there and everyone was like, why is she on
I remember
stage?
You walking around.
Walking around.
Okay.
Who knows?
Okay.
Yeah, I was checking out.
She's still working
through
her long list
of things. Oh, I did help with the photo booth.
Yeah.
Because I think you were like, hey, can, and then no one, then I ended up taking pictures of people and I was like, okay, well, I'll just take
I told when I used to work, I worked for Starbucks for a few years and when I was a supervisor, I was like, if you just like pace really fast back and forth, people think you're super busy. That's why Steve seems super busy.
That's why I walk so fast.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm just kidding. He's
getting my
busy.
Steps in. That's all I'm doing.
Right.
But, oh, man. Well, speaking of Good Friday and Easter, your sermon topic, or it's not really a series, but you preached on Romans 5 and 6.
Yeah.
And we kind of wanted to dive in a little bit more deeply with that since that was a shorter time. We didn't really get to spend a ton of time mm-hmm. on that. Can we just talk about Romans 5 and 6?
We can.
All right.
We are allowed.
Yeah, we're good.
May we? I don't know.
Two or more gather. Oh, you want me to just start talking
about
Romans
5
and
6? Sorry. I mean,
just,
let's dive in.
Yes, ma'am. We sure can. Yeah, I think I was mentioning this to Justin. What was interesting is like, we were actually dealing with some pretty heavy theology mm-hmm. on Friday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people probably didn't, hopefully, like realize that. Like, these are big theological concepts.
That's the goal in teaching. You're trying to teach deep truths in a way that's accessible.
Yeah. We're not always dealing with like typology and federal headship and those kind of things. But actually, the last 2 years, we've tried to, like, Good Friday has mm-hmm. been very much like a mm-hmm. theological issue. But so we talked about typology. I think mm-hmm. maybe, you know, I bet some people had never heard of that. If you're probably a mature believer, you probably have heard of that. I guess I would be curious how much you guys have thought about, looked into typology prior to Friday.
I mean, I don't know that it's really talked about a lot.
Okay.
You know, like typology.
Well, last night when I Googled it.
Okay. All right. Okay.
No, so the terminology.
You've heard
like that specific word, but when I looked it up, I was like, oh, they're talking about this part of it. So I wouldn't have known to connect those two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's this idea that everything revolves around Christ. Mm-hmm. And so everything that's revealed by God is pointing us to Christ. And specifically, the people that we're reading about in the Bible, in the Old Testament, leading up to Jesus. And they would even say, you know, maybe in the New Testament, Paul is a type of Christ and those kind of things. But in this context, that we're learning something about who Christ is, and Christ mm-hmm. is the better of that. Like, Christ mm-hmm. is the better Adam. Christ yeah. is the better Noah. Those kind of things. So the real point, and again, there's books written yes. on this, yeah. is that, you know, this wasn't an accident. What mm-hmm. happened in these people's lives were not an accident, but rather they were in a way fulfilling mm-hmm. a void mm-hmm. in our heart, but also like creating a void in our heart that is only fulfilled in who Christ is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to put it, because there's like, you've actually preached on this, not on the specific, like a whole sermon, but you mentioned this a lot in your teaching that yeah. like when we read a Bible story, the Old Testament, the point isn't to find us in the story right, that we're, right. no, it's like all of these are pointing to Jesus. They're meant to show us the way towards him. So I think, I mean, so while again on Good Friday, you're like giving the specific language of typology.
Right.
It's not an unfamiliar concept.
Agreed. Yeah.
To many. Yeah.
It shouldn't be an unfamiliar hopefully. Concept to any right. Christian, you know,
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you were about to yell, "You are not David."
That's right. Yeah.
You know that? Chandler. Do you know about that?
Yes, yes. Okay. Matt Chandler. He does that.
At Elevation Church.
Yes, yeah. he like screams at him like know. In a Matt, very Matt Chandler way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You are not David, with his flailing skinny arms.
Yeah, he's still got the honorarium though, probably.
okay, they're sorry. Probably like, "Yeah, thanks for that word. I needed my toes stepped on." And,
yeah,
you
know, people
like that. Well, it's a cool thing to understand, because then when you do see that, you do read through the New Testament,
mm-hmm.
you know, when it's pointing back to the Old Testament, and, you know, you just have this random line from the Old Testament, it's helping
right.
show, you know, that was fulfilled prophecy, but also who Christ is,
right.
who Jesus is representing in that.
And sometimes it's more explicit, right? Like, so for example, Adam, I mean, we're looking at Romans 5 that's literally saying Adam was a type, you know, of Christ.
Exactly.
So like,
there's a framework for it.
So some of it you might be saying, okay, you're taking some, you know, leaps here to make that connection. Maybe that's fair. But with Adam, I mean, it's literally telling us this is the second Adam. This is the natural Adam. This is the spiritual Adam. This mm-hmm. one's better. The grace abounds more. And so, I mean, just to reiterate, you know, from Friday night, it's mm-hmm. that Adam represented us mm-hmm. fairly.
Mm.
He is an accurate representation of us. Christ is an inaccurate representation of us, but is willing to represent us before God.
Mm.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. Mm.
You know, that just, when you said that, it made me think of, you know, how.
Batman? No, I'm just kidding. He's the hero he's not the hero we deserve.
Right.
Or he's
that's
the
right.
hero we
that's
need
right.
or whatever it is. You know what I'm talking about?
I do, yes. You know, I've mentioned this past few weeks.
I might have should have said that on Friday.
You probably should have. Man, can we turn back time?
Yeah.
But in the book of Hebrews, really just how we have that picture, and I totally lost what I was about to say.
Sorry,
now.
Man. I'm so sorry.
You did it to
I'm
me.
So
I just said it's been so
be
busy.
Good,
it is so
it
busy. And I'm like, what was I going to say?
What was I going to say before Batman?
Oh, really, just how, like, the whole book of Hebrews, not to get us ahead, because I know we're going to talk about this, how we see this in the Old Testament, New Testament, but we've been doing this in our life group, looking at Hebrews.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of Hebrews. He's connecting
Absolutely.
These dots, you know? He even points to angels, chapter 1. He's like, Jesus is better than angels. But he uses Moses as a very explicit representation of how Jesus is the fulfillment of how Moses fell short. And so there's already a very biblical framework for this.
Yeah,
it's not
right.
just like, hey, we decided that all
yeah,
of a sudden
exactly.
everything in the Bible points to Jesus. Now we're fitting in. Oh, the Bible itself shows us that everything points to Jesus.
Yeah, not that systematic theology is bad, but this is not systematic theology that mm-hmm. we're talking about. This is things told to us in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm kind of getting ahead to the next question. But
when do you think that shift happened? Like, I don't know. I was just thinking about that. I feel like growing up,
that's
like
a
it
good
wasn't.
Question.
Framed that way.
Yeah,
I'm
gospel centered.
I'm thinking about growing up in church too. You
yeah.
say that, and I don't really recall that either. Now it could just be because I wasn't listening. I'm not
yeah.
saying that my pastor
right,
didn't
right.
growing up, but
so ooh,
yeah.
Okay,
I don't know.
Okay, I'm about to get canceled. So so I think it was a focus in Calvary Chapel churches who mm. were very Bible focused. Even though I don't agree with everything about Calvary mm. Chapels,
yeah,
it was a focus in Presbyterian churches,
mm-hmm.
but so many Baptists had bought into dispensationalism.
Yeah, it's very true. Mm-hmm. That's a good
And point. So many Baptists had bought into this idea that like America and Israel are like this parallel.
Yeah.
That it created, you know, what I was going to get to in the next question is how do we begin to get the idea that everything in the Old Testament is a picture of the New Testament teaching? Well, because the New Testament teaches us that. And so then you start seeing the Old Testament through that lens. And I think so many people were seeing in America, were seeing the Bible through the lens of America's the new Israel.
Mm.
And so, and then dispensational theology attached to that. And so much of that was because of the, in 1940s, Israel became independent. When I talk to people who are strong dispensationalists, they'll tell me, well, you know, 1940, whatever was a film. Mm. I'm like, you can't say that.
Mm. Wow.
You can't say that.
Yeah.
And so, and it doesn't really make sense, you know, I'm not saying a dispensationalist is definitely wrong, but I would say I don't think they're right. And I definitely don't think that the whole of it is right. And I think it had a stronghold on the way a lot of Baptists.
Yeah.
And you guys grew up Baptist, you know how they viewed Christianity.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And I think the danger too is like a lot of Baptists were like, well, then we'll be covenant theologians. It's like, no, you can still you could still see the New Testament. The Old Testament has a picture of the New Testament agreeing to covenant theology.
Well, thanks for helping us deconstruct and reconstruct our Baptist heritage. I agree with your assessment there. Yeah, I
do. Yeah, you pointed out. Hebrews tells us this. Yeah, Colossians 1 tells us everything was created by, through, and for Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus himself, I referenced this weekend, says in John 5:39, you search the scriptures looking for eternal life, and they bear witness about me.
Yeah.
He's telling people who know the Old Testament. And then Paul, who's an expert in the Old Testament, is like, they bear witness about him. And
Exactly. So much of the New Testament is the prophets. It's like they're going back and be like, oh yeah, like in Hebrews, like he quotes Jeremiah so many times, like showing how Jesus is this prophecy of the restored. Yeah, absolutely. There's so much of that happening in the New Testament. So they started it.
sorry, I was long winded there. That's kind of hard not to be.
No, answers my question. That's interesting. All right. So what does it mean when you said our identity is in Adam or Christ?
Either we're going to hell or we're going to heaven.
Yeah.
What does it mean, Justin?
Yeah, you're either still in unrepentance. You are either still separated from God or you're found in Christ. Now it just clicked me what I was going to say earlier, but it's more fitting now.
Okay.
You know, we had this conversation about, you know, Jesus being human and how there was debate about whether he was fully human or was it just an appearance, but Jesus is actually more fully human than we are because he's the perfection of what God created. I mean, he has experienced humanity, human life as God intended it for us, without sin, without, you know, as Adam and Eve were created without disease affecting their bodies. So we're either in Christ or we're not. And that's how we're either with Adam or we're with Christ.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does it ever remind you of Chronicles of Narnia, the first one, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe?
A little bit.
Sons of Adam. Random throwback. So moving a little bit further with that, what does it mean when you might have heard people say this before, but we participate in Christ's death and resurrection. Mm. What do you mean by that we are participating in that?
Yeah. I think, again, on Friday night, I talked about this idea of federal headship and how we're represented by this person, this head. And that is consistent with the teaching of the Bible, which says Christ is the head of the church. And that's what it's talking about. But that's like so far removed from Western individualistic society that we fail to understand this concept. And I think like it's important that we understand it, because if we want Christ to represent us, then the call is to die to ourselves. And then his promise is if we die to ourselves, he will give us new life. If we don't die to ourselves, as Justin was pointing out, we do die a different death. And so to participate in his death is to say, hey, I want him to represent me. I die to my individualism representing me. I die to my natural nature, you know, which is that of Adam. And then with that is the resurrection. Like our call is to die. His promise is we can't resurrect ourselves. Right. He resurrects us. So that's like super complicated and super simple at the same time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
also, by the way, I think Calvary Chapel did believe in dispensationalism, so I may have been off on them.
Yeah. It's, you know, when you're saying that at Romans 6:4, we're buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We've been united with him in a death like his. We shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So to me, it's to participate, it's because we are
right
at one with Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One with himself. Like we actually can't die. Physically, we will, but then we'll be resurrected. So physically.
What a shot in the face to our autonomy.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've talked about this before, but like that's the concept good. Of like, we just fail, like even, you know, even as we preach Jesus and Christ crucified, like we fail to even give that like what it deserves. Mm-hmm. Like, because what we're saying, I mean, the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing.
Yeah.
What we're saying is we're saying bow down before a naked Jewish man and give him all the praises, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a self-made person, that is just...
That's crazy.
It is.
Why would you do that?
Yeah,
exactly.
Unless he's the answer, right?
Yes. Yeah. Unless he's true.
God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how freeing that is. Man.
Praise God.
Mm. Well, it was great. And
happy Easter.
Well,
Happy Easter.
Happy resurrection.
Yeah. Resurrection Sunday.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for all y'all did to make... everything
by God's grace for his glory. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. We're excited to see the fruit. Like the next couple weeks are really the like Easter is exciting, but the people who the Spirit is moving in and they get plugged in life and it changes like that.
They follow come back. It's such an opportunity. Yeah. It's amazing. So after Easter, we're taking a break from Joshua.
Correct.
So why are we doing that? Why don't we just plug along? Are we gonna
Joshua is just gets kind of mid the rest of the way. Just kidding.
Just gets kind of mid. We're coming back to it, though.
We are coming back. Yeah.
So, I mean, all this started, we typically in May, we have a week at, you know, for Student Sunday. So that's a piece of that. Yep. And then there's Memorial Day weekend. And really, we just kind of recognize the way, I mean, because of the way you've laid out Joshua, and then as we finish up Joshua later in this year, moving into Judges, you kind of recognize, hey, I know I've got this number of weeks outlined.
Yeah, right.
And so we just kind of said, hey, this is a time when we can pause for a few weeks and talk about something on the heels of Easter when there's people coming back that maybe like it's hard to jump into the middle of Joshua.
Like if I read
new
that
people.
Name, that list.
Yeah.
Listen,
we're in Joshua 13 through 19 too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so like,
not
yeah,
be
yeah.
The
there's
best
more
week
names to pronounce,
back.
More stories.
It's the allotment of the tribes.
If you thought, and honestly, as we get further into Joshua and Judges, if you thought some stories were weird so far, just wait. Just wait. There's more. And just recognizing that, hey, this is a point where people may be engaging here at Church on Bayshore for the first time.
Yeah.
So we are taking a break. We're still preaching from the Bible,
mostly Hebrews.
Drift.
Yeah.
Both the sermons are based out of Hebrews. It's just an opportune time to capitalize on something we just kind of feel like, hey, this is kind of where we are, not just as a church, but as a culture. Let's address something like this.
Yeah.
So you want to speak more about the series?
Yeah. How did you decide on the particular
series? Actually, it was started with a conversation that Lucas Comer and I had at CentriKid last year.
Nice.
I went as a volunteer, and we were just kind of talking about drifting away from the faith and things and people we knew, and just kind of really hung on that. I was like, man, I think that would be good to kind of lean into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I personally believe that the primary diet of a church should be exegetical, expository teaching, going through books of the Bible. But I don't think being a topical preacher, it makes you a sinner. And I do think there's some value in it. And so specifically, like, you know, if we're not hitting marriage in the Bible, we usually would try to do that every once in a while, those kind of things. So that's where it was. And so like Justin said, what we do is kind of about actually this time of the year, I'm asking from the other pastors and a few others, like, hey, as I think about next year, what do you sense? Well, here's what I sense that the Lord wants for our church. And what do you think? And then they give their feedback and then ultimately I make a decision. I map that out. And like he said, you know, I'm like, okay, either that's going to take me more than a year or that's going to take me 48 weeks. Okay. Well, 48 weeks, I have 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. What can we do with those 4 weeks? You know, it was more in Joshua and Judges. So yeah. So we, like he said, you know, we were like, this would be the, probably the best time to do that. So,
okay.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. What's the series going to be on?
Drifting,
drift. Yeah. Just how
being anchored.
Yeah,
you came up with a tagline. I can't remember what it is.
No, I think it was a question.
Oh, okay.
Are the anchors pulling you away? Mm-hmm. Yeah, just and it's really just about how the currents of life, the currents of culture, the currents of just even our own internal battles, you know, thought life, pull us away from what God wants for
us. Yeah, I think week one, I'm like, drift is real. Like, yeah. I'm here's Bible says so, and look around.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember if it's week two or week three. I'm talking about, like, how we hide behind things for drift. So, like, we're drifting because we want to not believe.
Yeah.
And then we hide behind intellectual thoughts or philosophical thoughts or spiritual things. But really, we're a sinner who wants to drift. And so,
I've tried to pull up the rest of the
You have the series titles, right?
But my phone apparently gets no reception in this corner of the church.
We're in the Boggy Bayou.
Yeah, the danger of drift, currents, lost, just being lost in it, raising the sails. Like, how do we come back from drift? And then how do we weather through the storms of, you know, the assaults of our faith?
Yeah. Well, speaking of teaching series, I don't know if you guys have ever seen these on Instagram or the socials. Props.
On the socials?
Props.
Yes. Props. So we can have some really outlandish props or we could have some just kind of normal. What do you guys feel about props?
I recently discovered this week there is an Instagram account called Pastors with Props.
Really?
And it's actually, some of them are actually like really good, and then some of them are really bad. And there's actually the guy, one of the Florida Baptist guys is on there a lot because he uses a lot of props apparently.
John?
I can't remember his name. Okay. I'll show you his name later. Okay. Anyway, I mean, I'm not against the use of a good prop. I've used a good prop in a teaching.
Glasses.
I did the glasses. One time. I've done a Lego tower to show like the leveling up of faith. To me, if there's a point, it actually can be a very helpful tool. You should not try to come up with a point to fit just a good illustration, you know. Or if you had this, you know, you shouldn't try to make it happen. You shouldn't center your sermon around a really good illustration.
Have you seen the roller coaster?
Yes, okay. That is a if you look up Ed Young, he has
they just look stupid.
It I know.
I
couldn't lie. I'm like, what if 6'2", 230 James was like in this roller coaster going around?
Listen, we would all just, if you said, hey guys, I really want you to build me a roller coaster for my sermon intro, it would have been like, I would just be going to the trustees being like, guys.
He's 67 years old. Yeah. What are you doing, man?
So it can be good. I mean, I understand the whole like stage design thing. It can be, but I also know it can't be, and it can become the focus so easily rather than the actual teaching.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I used a smoke detector on Sunday, so obviously I'm not like anti props, but I do think that like I've noticed a lot of communicators feel like I need to find a visual, and you know, I think it can often people. So I've heard people, I mean, even here, me or others at this church before, be like, remember this visual? And I would say, what was the sermon about?
Mm-hmm.
And they have no idea. Mm. They just remember the visual.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, the visual helps people remember. It helps them remember the visual.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it can really take away from the sermon. So you really need to ask, like, does this really help communicate this gospel truth? Now, there are those who are like, you should never do a prop.
Really?
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, John Piper, you think he would ever be okay with a prop?
Don't do anything that would ever take... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. But they didn't. I think you have to be aware, like, there's a good chance, like, if I do this prop, this is all that I want some people to remember. Francis Chan's balancing beam, have you ever seen that? Powerful. Yes. Great. But you don't remember anything else, you know, about that, you know, like...
Yeah.
And so I do think, like, there's that group, and then there's the group that's always trying to do something because they think it helps visual learners. And again, I would just say it could, and we need to be you know, careful. I personally, you know, I think, you know, if you had backdrops matching the series, and it's fine. It's another element. I mean, it's fine. We just We don't. I don't know why we don't do it. We don't.
One, our sanctuary does not very conducive to any of that. So I mean, again, it can be good. It just depends on motive, and I mean, I mean, a lot of pastors, their illustration is, hey, that worked for that pastor, so I'm going to use that illustration.
Yeah, that is also
and
true.
That if it worked, great, but give credit. Yeah,
that's
like,
true
hey,
too.
Yes, yeah. Hey, I saw pastors. That doesn't diminish from the power of it. Mm-hmm. It just makes you not look like an idiot when people are like, oh, I saw this guy do that. Yeah.
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 Is that interesting?
Yeah.
When you were mentioning the part about the prop and not remembering, I was reading this thing one time. I was talking about public speaking or whatever, and all of the brain chemistry that whenever you tell a story that your brain actually stores that differently, and so whenever you're speaking to break that up and make sure that – but I was thinking about that. It was totally a God thing that he uses story you know, just the gospel and all that, mm-hmm. and that's to me like more powerful than even a prop all the time. I will remember the story because my brain is designed to store it differently.
I think you can have this – stories can be helpful, or some pastors are just like, I got to come up with a story. I got
to
come up with a story.
It's like, you don't have to.
You don't have to. Right.
Yeah,
right.
And it can really take – I have definitely been like, how did – he just wanted to share that story. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I mean, I probably did that a lot more when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely. I used to be. I really like a lot when I first started youth ministry. I was like, I had to have an illustration every week.
I could see that. But you know what I have to worry about is humor. Like, because sometimes my humor can take away from the text, you know, like sometimes it's just funny and, you know, whatever, you keep going. But sometimes, like, it's like people remember the funny thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they don't remember what I said around it.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, I mean, but I'm so funny, I just can't help it.
Yeah. I mean, this is where this,
I'm really not, not that funny.
Yeah, I mean, we could go down a whole rabbit trail of communication and how people learn and learning styles. And it is important for a pastor or a teacher to know, like, I do need to be aware that not everyone remembers or receives the way that I communicate.
Right. Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I need to move past that. And that sometimes that means, you know, for me, honestly, I don't naturally teach with like an outline like James does. However, it's really helpful for many people.
Oh, yeah. I used to not.
Yeah.
And people just had a hard time following me.
And I think especially here, people are really appreciate that. And so I just learned, hey, it actually is better. And, you know, you learn this is actually helpful for me, too, in many ways. And so you just recognize, but not everybody needs the outline. Some people are like, I just need a blank page. And so we try to give blank space in our sermon notes, too. You know, like we're trying to, you know, and as a communicator, you are trying to recognize, like, I do want this to be remembered. Like the truth, not me,
right?
But not to be remembered. So, how am I communicating it? So,
yeah. That's good. Well, we have one question before we get to our next thing. We're talking about Earth Days coming up.
Which those were questions people asked me, by the way. The Joshua.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yep.
All right. Well, so this is our third question.
Third question.
Our third question is: do Christians celebrate Earth Day?
I know Christians who celebrate Earth Day, so. Yes.
So they do. Yeah,
do they? Yes. No.
And that's all I'm going to say about that.
I mean, truthfully, yes.
We love our planet.
I mean, I don't know what celebrating Earth Day looks like for different people.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people will have a caricature of this. I mean, I have a very good friend from college who is a strong believer who has a whole ministry that is about taking care of the earth and climate care.
Shane Claiborne?
No, he's not.
Okay.
But, you know, and I don't understand it all. I don't truthfully, and I don't even know that, but he loves Jesus. So I just try not to have a problem with as many people as possible.
Right.
Like, he genuinely loves Jesus. He's telling me about Jesus and he cares about the earth. That's what I know.
I have a feeling
James
you have
has
an
a lot.
I don't know. Like,
it comes back to what are we celebrating with Earth Day? Like that's,
Yeah, it's kind of.
I don't know the origins either. Like,
well, the origins are,
y'all. If you're not watching this, James's face. He has this face of like I'm trying to say my words.
I just. There's so much you can say.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's the group who's like anti anything environmental.
Yes.
Yeah.
And anti anything. Earth Day related because of the origins were in kind of like the hippie movement, anti-Vietnam and liberal. And it's like, okay, so yeah, some of the origins were bad, but that doesn't mean everything they were saying was bad.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. and so I think we have to be careful about politicizing this. Mm-hmm. And the other side, you know, to the extreme, also is very political about mm-hmm. it, right? I think that it is I personally, in reading the Bible, think we are to be stewards of everything. Yeah. And so I think
that
I think
includes the earth.
It would be, why would we not be in support of and advocates for governments that are trying to figure out ways to have less of a damaging human footprint? Mm-hmm. I don't understand why that's a problem. However, I do think there are some that begin to think we're in control more than we are.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I think what is a problem too is how like so many like Al Gore stuff that he said and extreme statements that camp said that like weren't true.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it's like just say we should care about the earth and let's do our bit. Yeah. Parts and hey, this is bad. Like don't be like, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, and then the hypocrisy, obviously, of people who are like, you know, you shouldn't have that canned. Can and they're on the private jet, you know, like anyway, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, it can take over people's whole worldview in a way and change everything.
I do think there's a displaced passion. I think it can be a distraction from the fact that we're supposed to be called to be on mission,
right?
And like, oh well, this is now my mission. No, no,
absolutely,
yeah. So.
I'm with you.
I like that. All right. Well, we have one quick game.
There are Christians who do.
Okay.
Do Christians celebrate Halloween? Some do.
Yes, some do. So with our new series being Drift, you know, we're talking about when I think of drifting, think of water drifting.
Good.
So
help make the logo.
Well, we're going to be talking about some songs, worship songs, because, you know,
all right.
Church together with us that have water themes.
Okay.
So I'm going to say part of the line.
Upon oceans. Water.
That was the first one.
Great.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yes. So I'll
feet
say.
May fail.
Yes.
I'll say the first line and then.
Oh, okay. He's going to kill me at this.
But I often make up lyrics. That's why we have the confidence monitor in the back.
So I did all the sales script. All right. So should I go back and forth? I'll do.
It's fine. Okay. We're a team. Here's Jacob and I are a team.
Right. Team.
Okay. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders.
Let me walk upon the waters.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters where feet may fail.
No, that's earlier in the song.
Okay.
Wherever you would call
me.
But you got the water part.
So we've never done that song here with you.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, because you got sick of it back in the day?
Yes. Yeah.
I bet EBC was singing that song.
We did that song.
Oh.
Did you lead that song?
No.
We did do an awesome mashup.
It was the What a Beautiful Name of the team.
We did do one week. We did an awesome mashup of that with...
Smoke
Angel
on the water.
Armies, you know, I know who goes be.
The girl
fire,
that did
y'all.
Sing this, though, she had an incredible voice, and she was somebody who she's very passionate, and she could cry and sing a song and not skip a beat. And
she had a manual?
Yes.
Okay,
she could like cry in between lyrics. She'd be like, Spirit lead me where my child. And like, and it was like sincere.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm like, wait,
I've
what?
Never been able
it
to
was
see
unreal.
That. Yeah,
like,
it really was.
Not manufactured.
It's just like the keyboard. It's just such a good, it pulls on the heartstrings. Just the song.
Does.
You don't even have to hear the lyrics.
Yeah.
The music, sorry.
That was a good one. All right. Okay, here's the next one. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control.
Ba-ba-da-da. I have no idea the lyrics.
I don't even know what song this is.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control.
Eye of the storm, Ryan Stevenson.
Who is Ryan Stevenson?
You never heard. This is a radio song.
Oh,
you
lost me at that.
Yeah, I don't know the lyrics, though.
And in the middle of the war, you guard my soul.
Oh, I would not have gotten that.
I
bet
not listen to Kayla or Destiny Radio or any of that stuff.
That part of my brain is full.
That's kind of
that's
an
pretty
old one, isn't it?
Okay. I never
too old.
Have listened to Destiny Radio or Kayla.
Here we go. Streams of mercy never ceasing.
Call for songs of loudest praise.
Teach me some
that one stuck in the brain.
Sung from flaming tongues above. Praise the Lord, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love.
And then raise all Ebenezer.
Good job.
Take that, Ryan Stevenson.
Yeah.
Never heard of you.
All right, this is a newer than that. In my wrestling, it's going to be hard without the title. In my wrestling and in my doubts.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Okay, my lighthouse.
I have heard that. Who's that by?
Mm-hmm. Ren Collective.
Ren Collective.
Okay, yeah, I do know that song.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a great song.
That is good. Ren Collective's good.
What a happy song.
Okay, this is Bethel, Amanda Cook. You make me brave.
I'm familiar with that song.
You make me brave. You call me out in the waters. Ta-da.
As your love in wave after wave.
As your love.
You make me
what
brave.
Do waves do?
Break.
They make you brave.
They break. You break
crash
me.
Crash over me.
They
crash over me.
They don't break us. They crash over
they
us.
Crash.
That's Dave Matthews. They stole that from Dave Matthews. Dave Matthews can get some money from that song.
Oh, sorry, Amanda. We didn't know that one.
All right. Lauren Daigle, Peace Be Still. Peace Be Still. Say the word and I will.
Dun, 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 dun.
You don't remember that one?
I know the tune.
Yeah.
I don't know. I only know you.
I'll walk out in the deep.
I will.
No.
Set my feet upon the sea till I'm dancing in the deep.
Dancing in the deep. Dancing and walking
guys,
in the deep.
Guys, I really don't listen to
Christian.
That's
the Baptist version, is walking in the
deep. Apparently.
I really don't.
I know the tunes of these songs, yeah, but I do not remember lyrics.
I do know
now.
You Say. I know that one by Lauren Daigle.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
I think if you heard this one, you
such
might be like,
a good
okay,
voice.
She does.
I probably would recognize it.
You would, yeah.
I don't
you
like
would,
listen
yeah. You would know it. You would know
yeah.
it.
Okay. It is
We're doing
well.
Great.
This is another
Oh yeah, come on.
Bethel.
Oh.
Version.
Mm-hmm. I do know that one.
So let go my soul and trust in him.
The waves and wind still know his name. Or wind and waves?
Yeah, that was right.
It's either wind and waves or waves and wind.
Hey, why don't we do that song? I like that
song.
That's
a great song.
I like
that
song. That
is a great song.
Is that Bethel, though? It is well?
Well, it has two people. Christine DeMarco.
She's not with them anymore.
It says Bethel. So.
Yeah.
Well,
hey, well, we need to brush up on some.
Did you know all these songs?
No, I did not. I did not. I didn't have to play. So.
Yeah. Well, thanks for making fun of us.
Well, guys, thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions, anything you want to be answered on Boggy Talk, you can email me at kelly@churchonbayshore.org. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.